I would like for you to get your Bibles and open them to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to preach today on the subject, Christ, our first love. But I'm going to go verse by verse in just a little while in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bible ready, when I come to that part of the message, you can follow as I preach. Now, Paul preached in Corinth about 2 years. The Lord told him to stay in Corinth and preach there. He said, because I have much people in this city. They'll not hurt you. They'll not lay hands on you. You stay there and preach because I have much people in this city. And Paul stayed there about 18 months or nearly 2 years. And he left Corinth and he sailed to Syria. And during his absence, some bad things happened down in Corinth, to the church of Corinth. Several bad things took place there in the church. I'll give you a few of them. False teachers and preachers crept into the church with false doctrine and unscriptural practices and led the people astray. And then the church became divided over their preachers. Some of the people said, well, I like Paul better than Cephas, and some said we like Peter better than we like Paul, and some said we like Apollos best, and some of them said, well, we don't like any of them, we like Christ. And Paul said, is Christ divided? Were you baptized in the name of Peter, Paul, or Apollos? And then the church not only became divided over their preachers, but there was a misuse of gifts. Some of them had special, unusual gifts, and they just misused them. And folks began to go to court with one another. They began to sue one another and went to law with each other. And then questions arose about marriage and divorce, conflict over that. And then some people even questioned the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, if Christ be risen, I say some among you there's no resurrection. I say some among you. So some of them doubted the resurrection, and some had some very, very bad conduct. And they were abusing the Lord's table. They were making a feast out of the Lord's table, and some of them getting drunk. And all of these things took place in the absence of the apostle. Now, what's the solution? What did Paul do? Well, Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote this book, this epistle to the Corinthian church. He sent this epistle to them. And in this book, he deals with each of these problems. He deals with them fully and completely, each of these problems. But the real solution he deals with in chapter 1. Chapter 1 is where he deals with and gives them the real solution. He talks about these problems on through the book. But here in chapter 1, he gives them the only way to deal with trial, the only way to put a church on the right course, the only way to give the frame of mind that ought to be in everybody in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to return to their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Make everything for Christ's sake, everything in the name of Christ, everything for the glory of Christ. That's where it is. You see, over in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, he said this directly to the church at Ephesus. He said, I have somewhat against you. He talked about all the things they had done and all the successful things that they had enjoyed and all of the blessings that he'd given them. Then he said, I've got something against you. I have somewhat against you. Because you left your first love. You left your first love. And that's what leads to all of these problems, to leave your first love. You become involved in all manner of works and activities and relationships and programs and socials and sports and all of these other things. And you've left your first love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our first love. And our relationship with him will make all other relationships right if the relationship with Christ is right. Somebody wrote a poem years ago. Listen to it. He was grieving over his state. And he said, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of the Lord Jesus and His Word? Oh, what peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet the memory still. But now there's an aching void that no one can ever fill." What's the problem? People call it backsliding. They call it all these different things. But I'll tell you the problem. It's in Revelation 2:4. "I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love." That's your whole problem. You've left your first love. Christ is our first love. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You seek Him first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Our Lord said this, "If any man love father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, yea, his own life also, more than me, he's not worthy of me." And then He said in John 15, "I'm the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." See, this is what happens. This is what happens when we get divided and when people misbehave and a church has divisions and conflicts and all of these other things. We've left our first love. "Abide in me and I in you. You'll ask what you will and it shall be done. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me continues in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." And He said this, "If you abide not in me," and that's what's happening here, dwelling in Christ, abiding in Christ, loving Christ, Christ first and His glory first in all things. He said, "If you abide not in me, you're cast forth as a branch, withered, shrunk up, fit for the fire." Oh my, cling to your first love. That's the solution. Go back to where you were when you fell in love with the Redeemer. Back to where you were. A young couple stands before me. I see this so often, more than I want to, and more in the last few years than ever before. A young couple stands before me, and they're going to be married. And they only have eyes for one another. My, they're in love. You just look at them. They don't know anybody's in the congregation or around them. They love each other. They're together. And they start life that way, together. They build their home together, just enjoying every nail that goes in it and every carpet that's laid down. They do it together. And then along comes the first child. I'm invited to come to the hospital and see the baby. And there's the three of them. Oh, my goodness, how happy. In love with one another. First love. First love. First child. First love. Happiness abounding, happiness in everything. Love of one another together, love of family. Then a few years pass. And they establish separate careers. That's what everybody's got to have, his career, you know. And the wife has her career and the husband has his career. And then the children have their careers too now. Separate friends, separate interests. They leave their first love. And then one day, they stand before a judge, separated. What happened? They left their first love. And now here they are dividing the spoils of their separate careers. What happened? Well, you can name all the things. Somebody else is involved or this, that, and the other, financial troubles and in-law trouble. Just name it anything you want to. They got the same in-laws they had when they got married. All these things are the same, but they left their first. They stopped loving each other. Now that's all there is to it. Christ said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bring forth fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, grace, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. It's all there. But it's based on one thing, because you love each other. He said, as you have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him, continue in Him. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 4:19. This is the key. This is the key. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. He wrote to the Galatian church. He said, my little children, I travail. What's that word mean? As a woman giving birth to a child. That's what he's talking. I travail. As a woman does in trying to bring forth a child. I travail to Christ be formed in you. In you. Christ in you. That's life. That's life. Permanently. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory, he said in Colossians 1:27. Colossians 3:4. Christ is my life. Somebody says, is Christ the most important thing in your life? Not by any means. He's not a thing. He's not a part of my life. He is my life. Without Him, I have no life. If I don't abide in Him, I'm fit for the burning. I'm a withered branch. I don't have any life. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12 says, this is the record. You can write this down. This is the record. God has given us eternal life, and this life's in His Son. You leave your first love, you've left life, truth, peace, rest, God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. My friends, it's not the church that saves. You know that. It's Christ. It's not even the cross that saves. No, sir. It's Christ. Let others who will praise the cross of the Christ. The Christ of the cross is my theme. And while I cherish the old rugged cross, it's the Christ of the cross that redeems. It's not the cross that saved me. It's Christ who hung on that cross. It's not the mother who saves me. It's not the mother who's my mediator. It's the Master, Christ. It's not the brotherhood. The brotherhood can't help me if I don't have the bridegroom. You see that? If I leave the bridegroom, the brotherhood's of no use to me. It's not the rosary. It's the Redeemer. Things don't help me. The person. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I've somewhat against you, God said. You've left your first love. And the mess you're in is of your own making. You see, Christ, this hymn writer said, Christ as our mediator stands between our souls and God. And upon both he lays his hand, upon God and me, presenting his precious blood. Christ is the rock on him I build. He's my life, my love, my all. And his promise shall be fulfilled. He'll never let me fall. My friend, look to Christ. Continue in Christ. Cling to Christ. Learn of Christ. Don't allow anything or anyone or any circumstances, or any promotion, or any fluency, or poverty, to turn you from the simplicity, the oneness, the singleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I quoted that verse a while ago, as you have received Him, so walk in Him. So walk the rest of your life. As you receive Christ, where is the blessedness that once I knew when first I met the Lord? How'd you meet Him? How'd you receive Him? Well, I received Him as my Savior. He's still my Savior. I received Him as my Lord. He's still my Lord. I received Him as my Master. He's still my Master. I received Him as my life. He's still my life. I received Him as my High Priest. He's still my High Priest. I received Him as my hope and my only hope. And He's still my only hope. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in the second epistle, expresses a great fear for these people. a great fear. Paul didn't fear many things, but this he did. He feared this. He feared a distraction from Christ. He feared a departure from Christ. He feared what our Lord said about the church at Ephesus, you left your first love. That's what Paul feared. And this is what he said. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest anyone, by any means, as Satan beguiled Eve, our mother, anyone or anything should divert you from Christ or corrupt your minds from the simplicity of Jesus Christ, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, the oneness, the singleness of Jesus Christ, the fullness of Christ. He's all in and all. He's everything to us. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. And to depart from Christ is our only real fear, because he's all in and all. And when we leave him, we've left everything when we leave Christ. And this is why Paul wrote to this troubled church. And he deals with all these problems that they have. He deals with them later. But here in this first chapter, now you get it out there, that first chapter. This first chapter is filled with the person to whom they must return, to whom they must look, to whom they must cling. They can do all these other things to straighten out these other problems, but Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer right here, the glory of Jesus Christ. And if you'll go down through here, the first 10 verses in chapter 1, and mark Jesus Christ's name and see how many times Paul mentions there in the chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, before he ever deals with their problems, he calls them to Christ. Everything's in him. In him. Now watch here. Let's go to verse 1. Paul says, I'm called to be an apostle, not of the church, of Jesus Christ. We who preach, we're ambassadors of Christ. We're messengers of Christ. We're the servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're sent to declare unto you the words of God, the words of Christ. We preach not ourselves. Paul says that over in another verse. He said, we preach not ourselves. We don't preach our denominations or ourselves or our program. We preach Christ. We preach Christ, Jesus our Lord. Ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. But he's Alpha and Omega. That's beginning and end. He's the first and the last. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We are ambassadors of Christ. We preach Christ. That's what we preachers. We need to return to preaching Christ every service. Every service. A sermon that doesn't exalt Christ and magnify Christ and present Christ and him crucified really ought not to have been preached. We're the apostles and ambassadors and messengers of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, who are the sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's right. You're made holy in him. Not in your works and your righteousness. You're holy in him. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 1. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's where all the blessings are. In Christ. You're sanctified in Christ. We're justified by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We're accepted in the beloved Christ Jesus. We're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, Christ Jesus. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto you all things. So Paul's taking them to the real solution. It's Christ. He says we are servants of Christ. We're apostles of Christ. Believers are justified in Christ. They're sanctified in Christ. And now he says in verse 2, and we all call upon the name of Christ Jesus. Our Lord, both your Lord and my Lord. We call on his name. That's how we're saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how we're saved, by calling on his name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rea, Jehovah my shepherd, Jehovah my banner. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We pray in his name. He said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it you. Anything worth having, anything eternal, anything spiritual is yours in the name of Christ. We serve in his name. If you give a cup of cold water in his name, you'll not lose your reward. What we do for his glory. Everything's in his name. He's all. Look at verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes through Christ. Peace with God. Peace. This is so important right here. Listen to me. Listen. How can a son of Adam, a sinner, have peace with God? Peace means to be reconciled. Peace means to be accepted. Peace means to be forgiven. Peace means the war is over. There's no judgment. Well, how can we have peace with God? We're not sons of peace. We're sons of Adam. How can we have peace with the Holy God? How can he be reconciled? Here's the answer. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace with God through the blood of his cross. Having made peace with God through the blood of his cross. That's how it's made. By Christ. To reconcile all things to himself. Reconcile. You know, when two people fall out and somebody hears they're back together, they say, well, they were reconciled. What do you mean? They're friends. And that's what Christ did. We were enemies by our wicked works, enemies by birth and nature. And Christ came, and on the cross of Calvary, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that's what this is saying. Having made peace with God through the blood of his cross. By Christ to reconcile all things to himself. By Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, when I see the blood, God said, I'll pass over you. How long has it been since you heard a message on the blood of Christ? The all-sufficient blood of Christ. The effectual, saving, cleansing, sanctifying blood of Christ Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no salvation. We have today a bloodless religion. It's a religion of philosophy and psychology and ideology and all of these other things. We need to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of Christ. The blood. There's a trail of blood throughout the whole Bible. From Genesis 3:21, when Adam and Eve stood naked before God, and the first blood was shed. The first blood. First blood shed on this earth wasn't Cain killing Abel. The first blood shed was God slew an animal and clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of that animal. And from that blood, all the way through the Bible, till we meet in Revelation, the Lamb slain on the throne, there's a trail of blood. Trail of blood. It started in the garden, and it was consummated, fulfilled, and finished on the cross of Calvary. You need to study. You need to study the simplicity of Christ. The three R's. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, you know, education is kind of summed up in the three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, there are three R's to the Scripture. No sermon ought to be preached that doesn't contain the three R's. You know what they are? Ruined by the fall. What happened in the garden? Ruined by the fall. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Ruined by the fall. Secondly, is redemption. Redemption by the blood. What happened on the cross? Christ, by his blood, cleansed us from all sin. The third R is regeneration. What happens in a sinner's heart when the Holy Ghost takes the Word of God and gives him new life? Makes him a new creature. reveals the Son of God to him and sheds all the love of God in his heart. That's the three R's: ruin, redemption, and regeneration. What happened in the garden? What happened on the cross? What happened when God saves a sinner? Look at verse 4. I thank God, Paul said, always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What is the grace of God? It's the favor of God. Noah found favor with God. Mary found favor with God. It's the forgiveness of God. I remember this sin no more. It's the love of God, unchangeable. It's the electing grace, saving grace, daily grace, keeping grace, dying grace. It's the grace of God. Where is it found? In Christ Jesus. It's given us by Jesus Christ. That's where it is. And you'll not experience it unless you lay hold on Christ. And verse 5. In fact, in everything, Paul said, you are enriched by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're enriched. You know, whatever the lot of the Lord's people on this earth, whatever the lot, I know some mighty poor believers and I know some rich believers. But whatever the lot of a believer on this earth, they are really actually never poor. We may not have a large supply of material things, but we're not poor. The Word of God says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. He'll show us the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I hope it's not said about you ever, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. Christ Jesus is our first love. You know, when he said to Peter there in John 21, he said, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Order this tape, Christ, our first love, and on the back of it is the Bible, the Word of God. Till next week, God bless you.